Lord, we thank you. God, you've already shown us that you are beautiful, that you're wonderful, that you're powerful. God, that you're good. And so we turn to your word now, knowing that it is going to give us life. It's going to draw us closer to you and deeper in you. So here we are, God. Have your way with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as we continue our series, it's called The Expanding Church. In other words, to come into agreement with God's sanctifying work that is expanding us, it's transforming us, and it's doing it from the inside out. As we do this, we're going to encounter an exciting truth, and that is that the grace of Jesus Christ is expanding our freedom. Now, I know we've talked a lot about freedom already this morning. We've seen a lot of freedom. We've sung about freedom. We've engaged with freedom already this morning. And now we're going to go to God's Word and get even more filled up on what the Lord has for us. Expanding freedom. Our primary passage of Scripture this morning is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 36. And it records Jesus boldly declaring this: "So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." Jesus is saying, this is Jesus saying, look, if I set you free, then you're really free. You're free indeed. So this morning, I'm here to declare a few things. I'm here to declare that the Lord wants us to expand our understanding of the significance of the enormity of this freedom that we have in Christ. I want to declare that the Lord wants us to expand our appreciation of this freedom that we have in Jesus. And the Lord wants us to expand our practice and our enjoyment of the freedom that we truly have in Christ. Freedom. I want to start with a quick look at what is freedom. Here's the definition. It's up on the screen. Freedom, it's liberation from slavery or restraint or from the power of another. Freedom, it means that we are unrestricted, not subject to the control or domination of another. Freedom means that we're not obstructed, that we're not impeded in any way. This is freedom. How many of you like the sound of that? I like the sound of freedom. And this is what God has for us. It's what He wants for us. This is what He desires for your life, freedom. The issue comes when mankind, all of us, do this. I'm going to confess, I did this yesterday. All right? We find ourselves falling back and living not as free men and women, but as slaves. I was living as a slave to stinking thinking yesterday. Just being real with you. Those of you who were with me yesterday, I've got an excuse, all right? It's not a good one, but it's an excuse. We fall back into living not as free men and women, but as slaves. Slaves to stinking thinking. Slaves to sin. To shame. To brokenness and hurt and despair and fear, whatever it might be. The most egregious thing that happens when we fall back into slavery and allow chains to come back on us is the separation that we experience from the presence of God and from the goodness of God and from the gifts that God has for us. Our Heavenly Father, our benevolent King, our Savior, our Lord, He offers us freedom. He offers us liberation, unrestricted, unobstructed access to Him, to peace, to joy, to new life. This is what God has for us. Again, John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And so in Christ Jesus, we are free. We are free in Christ Jesus. Here's the reality, church. We are free. Okay, do you want to say this with me? Let's do this together. Let's say, we are free. We are free. That's the reality of our existence right now in Christ Jesus. We're free. I want you to turn your attention for a few minutes to the screen. Watch this short video.
God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Excuse me, son.
Yeah?
What have you got there?
Got some birds, some wild birds.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you get them?
Got them in the field over there. There's a field with wild birds.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't mind my asking, what are you going to do with them?
I'm going to play games with them.
Games?
Yeah, I can play games with wild birds, yeah.
What kind of games?
Sometimes I like to poke a stick in there, you know, and they'll be like going, caw, 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 like that, you know. And then sometimes I like to rattle up the cage, and they think it's an earthquake, and they love that.
What happens to them after you're done playing games with them?
Usually I feed them to my cat. You know, my cat likes wild birds.
I tell you what, I am fond of wild birds.
You are?
Yeah, let me buy them from you.
You want to buy my wild birds?
Yeah.
They're no good for nothing. They can't do no tricks or nothing. And when you open this gate, they're just going to fly away.
How much?
You're serious?
I'm very serious.
$5.
All right.
$10.
Okay.
$20.
They're wild birds.
They're exotic birds.
You found them in a field.
An exotic field.
All right. That's all I got.
You looking at the cage?
Yeah. What do you got in there?
You know what's in there.
Mankind.
Found them in the garden. The funny thing is, they put themselves in that cage. I had nothing to do with it.
So what's your plans with them?
I'm gonna play games with them.
Games? What kind of games?
All kinds of games. I'm going to put games into their life that they think is going to bring them so much pleasure that I'm going to turn the world upside down. I'm going to make right seem wrong and wrong seem right.
And then?
They'll be damned for all eternity.
My father and I, we're very fond of mankind.
I know.
We want them to have access to us. So I'm going to pay for their freedom.
You want these humans?
Yeah.
You know they promised you everything before. They're going to turn their backs on you.
Some will, and some won't.
You're serious?
Oh, I'm very serious.
It'll cost you your tears.
I know.
Your blood.
Yeah.
It'll cost you your life.
I know.
You're willing to give your life.
I'm willing to give what it takes.
This reminds us about what Jesus did for us on the cross. He picked up that wooden cross and carried it to Mount Calvary because He loved you and me.
Christ has set us free. We couldn't buy our own freedom. We couldn't open the cage. We couldn't break the chains, but Jesus did it for us. He did it for you. Thank God He did it for me. In Galatians 5, verse 1, Scripture says that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Jesus paid the price for our freedom. And he did this so that we would actually live in this new freedom. So that we would grab hold of it. So that we would actually enjoy it for real. Leave that scripture up here. The first sentence, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. The second half says, Christ has set us free. It's a done deal. It is finished. It's been accomplished. Christ has set us free. For what purpose? So that we would walk in that freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And so we, the redeemed, we have a role now, though, to play in expanding our freedom. Jesus has done it. It is finished. But we have a role of intentionally living in it. And our role begins with awareness. We must, number one, recognize our freedom. That's the first point this morning. How do we walk in this expanding freedom? How do we grab hold of that which Christ has already grabbed hold of for us? That's freedom. The first thing we must do is we must recognize our freedom. We must recognize that the chains have been broken. Without this understanding, we cannot live as free men and women. Check this out. On September 22nd, 1862, President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And then on January 1st, just a few months later, January 1st, 1863, it went into effect. And at that very moment, January 1st, 1863, at that moment, every slave living in the entire United States, in the Confederacy even, was legally set free. Legal freedom. It was accomplished. It was given. However, until they knew of their freedom, the legal fact had no impact on their lives. They continued to live and think as slaves. And so this is why Union soldiers carried hundreds of thousands of copies of this Emancipation Proclamation, and they passed it out everywhere they went throughout the South during the war. They were free. But they needed the awareness, the recognition of that freedom. And we're the same way. We've been set free. It's been proclaimed. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. We are free. And we need to know that. And so what has the Lord done for us? He has passed to us His Word, the Logos, which has declared the truth of the emancipation of us who are in Christ Jesus. The proclamation that we are free men and women in Christ Jesus. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. You want some clarification of what the reality is? If anyone is in Christ, it says, he is a new creation. The old has gone. Come on now. And the new has come. See, this is our proclamation that the Lord has given us. The proclamation of freedom. It's been signed, sealed, and delivered to us by our good Father and by our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are free. We're new creations. God wants us to know it. He wants us to understand that it's a done deal. Do you know that Christ has set us free from the power of sin? It's hard to recognize that sometimes, isn't it? Okay, I got a short moment here. This drives me crazy. Do you hear those birds out there? They are. Somebody let the birds go inside, or where are they? Can somebody run them off? I mean, they're driving me crazy. They need to go out and enjoy nature. They need to be free to enjoy nature. There's so much more out there. They're not inside, are they? Are they outside, out the back door? This usually doesn't happen. This was an unplanned scenario here with the birds. But you're getting to know me a little bit more. Little things like that can just kind of... I'm starting to preach louder, trying to cover up the sound of the birds, and it's just going to drive you crazy. You're going to be, stop it, Pastor. I think he found them. When he comes back in, let's give him a round of applause for helping the birds enjoy the fullness of their freedom. Amen. He didn't take any firearm out there with him, right? Okay, no. All right. He probably went around. He probably got locked out, so we're going to keep going on here. Thank you for being patient with me, church family. Thank you. All right. God wants us to know that it's a done deal. That we are new creations in Christ Jesus. However, unless we have knowledge of this reality, we will remain living as slaves to sin, slaves to the past. We got to recognize the reality that we have been set free. The bird whisperer has returned. We have to recognize and daily choose to live in the truth, the knowledge, the reality that we've been set free. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, we encounter this truth. It says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Let's put it in context here. God's people can remain chained up in sin because they're not walking in the knowledge of their freedom. We have to know that we're free and recognize the freedom that we have. So freedom in Christ also is not simply some kind of theological concept. Freedom is not simply positional. Rather, our freedom is something that's so real that it will change and impact every area of our lives, and we will see and experience the evidence of that very real freedom that Christ purchased for us on the cross. It's real. It's not just talk. It's not just something that we throw out there to try to get everybody jazzed up to come to church and be a Christian. It's the real deal. You heard testimonies of it earlier. It's real. No joke. And Jesus paid it all, so we have it. It says in Romans 6, verse 10, when Jesus died, he died once to break the power of sin. Sounds like freedom to me. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Romans 6, 10, and 11. And so number one, we must recognize our freedom. It's for real. And this leads us to the next step of walking in expanded freedom. Step number two is we must repent. Oh, he just used that word. It sounds like this, I think, to some.
Repent.
We must
repent. Oh.
I know, it sounds like a scary word, doesn't it? Sometimes we think repent is like a four-letter word, but it's not. It's a six-letter word. Can you all verify that? It is, right? Okay. It's a six-letter word. It's not a bad word. It's a glorious, good word of freedom and new life. See, freedom is found in Christ alone, and it's found in living God's way. Therefore, we got to come out of agreement with the old ways, with our old condition, with our old identity, with our old thinking, with the old things that have been passed down through the generations to us. We have to come out of agreement with those things, and we must instead embrace the new reality that we now have in Christ Jesus. And this happens through this thing called repentance. See, repentance, in essence, is thinking differently. To repent is to think differently. It's thinking God's way now instead of our old way. That's where repentance starts. We have to get rid of the old way of thinking and bring on God's way of thinking. That's why we got to be in the Word of God on a regular basis. Amen. Pour it into your life. I'm telling you, that's how this whole process of repentance happens, is through the Word of God. Check this out, Romans 8. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. And so repentance is this great exchange of the old nature, the sinful nature, for the new nature that we now have in Christ. And it begins with us understanding that new nature and recognizing it and thinking differently and then walking in the new way of thinking and watching it live out for real. The enemy doesn't want this to happen, though, does he? He wants to keep us in the old way. He wants to keep us in the cage, like the video was showing, right? And poke at us and play games with us and mess around with us and eventually feed us to the cat. That's what he said, right? That's what he wants to do to us. That's his plan, to rob, kill, and destroy. And so we need to press into God in order that that would not happen. We need to repent. We need to think God's way. Here's another concept and another biblical reality that we have to walk in addition to repentance. It says this in Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And so we think different, we repent, we think different, we think God's way, and we realize, wow, that other thing I was doing was sinful, it was out of God's plan for my life. I recognize that now, and so I'm going to actually not only think about it, I'm going to come out of agreement with it, and I'm going to confess that that was the old way, and now I'm choosing God's way. Anthony's testimony was a great example. He comes to Freedom Weekend. And he repents, he thinks differently, and he comes out of agreement, confesses his sin, and he finds freedom. He walks right into freedom in Christ Jesus. He found mercy. And so we find these things, repentance and confession, and then forgiveness that comes as part of that package. These are all chain breakers. Repentance, confession, and then God's forgiveness and our forgiveness of one another. These are chain breakers that the Lord has given us. Okay, I found this story. It goes like this. Back in the day, there was a 12-year-old boy who accidentally killed one of his family's geese by throwing a stone. Figuring his parents wouldn't notice one of the 24 geese gone, he just buried it in the backyard so nobody would know, right? But his sister saw him do the crime. And so what did his loving sister do? She said, I saw what you did. And if you don't wash the dishes for me, I'm going to tell Mom. Right? So what did the boy do? He did the dishes day after day after day. However, one day, the boy said to his sister, you do them. His sister said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell Mom. And the boy replied, he said, I already told her, and she forgave me. And then he said, I'm free again. I'm free again. Repentance, confession, forgiveness brings freedom. It broke the chains off of this little 12-year-old boy's life, and he was free again and got his sister back in the kitchen doing the dishes. Remember that one, kids. Repentance. I want to make sure we understand this, though, too. Repentance is not something that we can do on our own. We need God's help in coming out of agreement with the old and coming into agreement with His ways. We need God's help in every way all along the way. You know what I'm saying, right, church? You get it. We need Him. We lean upon Him and Him alone in all of this. It says in James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves. That's look at 3 points here in this passage. One, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, number two. And what happens? He will flee from you. The birds aren't fleeing, by the way. They're back and they're chirping. So submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Look at the progression here. The first things we do is we just submit ourselves to God. That's repentance. We come into God's way of thinking and living. We submit ourselves to Him. We humble ourselves before Him and say, you are God, I'm no longer God. You're God. And then what do we receive? We receive the grace of God, the power of God to then be able to do step two that we can't do without doing step one first. We submit ourselves and God gives us the grace to do what? Resist the devil. I tried to do it for years on my own, couldn't do it. Once I submitted to the Lord and His Lordship, boom, the grace of God comes and I can finally do what I couldn't do before, and that's resist the devil. And when I began to resist the devil by the grace of God that was all over me, the devil began to flee. He couldn't stick around because the grace of Jesus Christ is too much for him. He can't stand up to it. And so we submit ourselves then to God. We resist the devil and he flees from us. So number one, we got to recognize our freedom. Number two, we got to repent. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. I love that word. And number three, we must not limit our freedom. We must not limit our freedom. Again, John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you might be free. You'll be a little bit free. You're mostly free or something like that. No. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Indeed means that it's for certain that you're truly free, that you're really free, that you're fully free, that you're completely free. If the Son sets you free, you are completely free. Not a halfway freedom. Not an almost freedom. It reminds me of this video. Play that clip for me.
Daddy can't talk.
Ooh, but ooh, look who knows so much, huh? Well, it just so happens that your friend here is only mostly dead. There's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead. Please open his mouth. Now, mostly dead is slightly alive. Now, all dead... Well, with all dead, there's usually only one thing that you can do.
What's that?
Go through his clothes and look for loose change. Hey! Hello in there! Hey! What's so important? What you got here, that's worth living for.
Love. You heard him? You could not ask for a more noble cause than that.
And so I'm thinking about this. You know, who the Son sets free is free indeed, for real, completely. When Jesus set us free, we're not just mostly free. We're free indeed. We're completely free. We're totally free. That's what Scripture tells us. That's what Jesus Himself has declared over us, those of us who are in Him, His disciples, His followers, the redeemed of the Lord. Let us say so. We are free indeed. We're free indeed. Yet we continue to sometimes want to make God small. We talked about this last week when we talked about faith. Making God small, selling God short. And we do this in the area of freedom also. Some people, and I get it, we're so beaten down sometimes, we're so hurt, we're even so conditioned to accept less than. Even though Satan is defeated, he still rules this world through a hierarchy of demons. He's still at work in this world, isn't he? He's still moving around us, robbing, killing, and destroying. They tempt us. These demons accuse us, condemn us, deceive us, even believers. He's working on us, trying to keep us in that cage. Too many believers aren't taking this seriously either. They're thinking, hey, I'm a Christian, I go to church, everything's all good, and they just move on their life without ever embracing the freedom, without ever processing it, without ever shutting the doors that were opened in their lives throughout the years. They think, well, I said a prayer, I go to church now, and I'm starting to hear God, and good things are happening in my life, but never dealt with the fact that they opened the door to so many things, and the enemy continues then to do his mischief. And to play games with your life and to keep you in bondage. It breaks God's heart that believers, His children, are being ripped off as they're settling for less than, simply mostly free, instead of being free indeed. And this is one of the reasons we have this Freedom Weekend that we did late last year, and we're going to do another one in 2 weeks. It's because we all have things in our lives that we need to shut the door on. There are things in our lives that we need to deal with, that we need to cut off, that we need to come out of agreement with for real once and for all. I spent this last week in the prayer room going through the Freedom Weekend manual that we have. Myself, once again, going through it, preparing my heart, processing through things and continuing to realize, man, this is good and I need it. I need more of it. I had victory early in the week and walking into freedom in areas of my life. And then yesterday and last night, it was like the enemy was coming on me so hard. And frankly, he won for several hours yesterday. There's more freedom, and I'm going to go grab it. I'm going to expand the freedom that Christ has already given me. I'm not going to settle for mostly free. Even 80%, that's not good enough. Christ went to the cross for total freedom so that I would be free indeed, and it's for freedom that I've been set free. And so point number four, we must remember that our freedom was not free. It's called freedom, but it was not free. 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. Their conviction resulted in untold suffering for themselves and their families. Of the 56, five were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 of them lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the war. Carter Braxton of Virginia, he was a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship sunk by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts, and he died in poverty. At the Battle of Yorktown, the British General Cornwallis had taken over Thomas Nelson's home for his headquarters. Nelson told General George Washington to open fire on the Nelson home, his home. The home was destroyed and Nelson died bankrupt. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and his mill were destroyed. For over a year, he lived in forests and in caves, returning home only to find his wife dead and his children vanished. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion. Freedom. It's never free. It's never free. Those of you who watched President Trump's address to Congress last week, you saw a reminder of that. As you had the Navy SEAL, Ryan Owens, remembered by our nation. Because freedom is never free. It's never free. Jesus paid the ultimate price in order to purchase our freedom. Jesus went all the way to secure our release, to save us, to set us free. He didn't hold anything back. Not mostly, no. Indeed, completely, totally, all the way. It says in Isaiah 53:5, but He, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, that brought us freedom, was upon Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. By His wounds, we have spiritual healing, eternal healing. We have freedom. By the price that Christ paid for us, we are free. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. We might be set free. Church, Jesus is due the reward of His suffering. That's why I'm so excited about the 5 people who came to Christ last night as we were out in downtown Gilbert. He's due the reward of His suffering. And He suffered also that we would be living as free men and women. Not putting up any longer with the chains that the enemy has put upon us, or the cage that He's locked us in. He is worthy and He's due a church that will press into that freedom, that won't take it for granted and that won't sell it short, but will go after it. I want to encourage you, March 18th, Freedom Weekend, press into the freedom that Jesus went to the cross for, that He was bruised and crushed for, that He bled for. Press into the freedom. Don't give the enemy any more of your time, any more of your life, any more of your relationships. Don't let him have it. Redeem it. For Christ truly is worthy of the reward of His suffering, that we would embrace the freedom that He purchased for you and for me. Jesus is worthy of it all. I want to invite one of our elders, Don Shrine, to come up. And Don, if you would you just pray this over us? Would you pray freedom over our church family even right now? Yes. Church, if you want to come into agreement with this, even some of you might want to raise your hands just as an act of surrender to the Lord, even of receiving the freedom that Christ has for us. If you want to stand up also, you're welcome to do that.
In 1 John 4:17, the Bible says, "For as He is, so are we in this world." We are to be like Jesus. God has given us the power to overcome darkness, to overcome every evil thing, every power of sin that the devil has in our life. He has given us the power over it. And so, Lord, You have created us to mount up with wings like eagles. God, You have created us to be a free bird, God, to fly free. Unobstructed, God, to escape the surly bonds of the flesh and to soar in heavenly realms.
Thank you, Lord.
Where You reign, God. For those who wait upon the Lord, they shall be the ones who mount up like eagles. Those will be the ones strength will be renewed. We are those people. Our strength is renewed. We run and we do not grow weary. We walk and we do not faint.
Amen.
And we thank You, Jesus, for You have set us free, God.
Yes.
You have set us free, God, and You have called us to a place of freedom.
Yes.
That we walk in freedom. God, no longer as slaves to the flesh, no longer as slaves to the devil. But God,
yes,
You have broken that yoke of slavery that's been around our neck.
Yes.
And God, You have given us Your yoke. God, we are slaves to You now, bond servants to You, God, to read Your word, to obey Your word, God. Not that we just jump high, God. It doesn't matter how high we jump, but it's how straight we walk when we hit the ground. God, we want to be straight walking people, God, who live according to Your word, God. We want to be the word, God. Just as You are, so are we in this world. So we lift our vision, God, any vision that's lower than that, God, You despise. You've called us to be perfect in everything, in our words, in our deeds. And You have given us the power to walk in holiness and in rightness and be in right standing with God. And when we find favor in Your eyes, You give us favor in this world. And so, Lord, we thank You for freedom. We thank You, freedom, because we are free indeed.
Yes.
No longer slaves, but free people, God.
Amen.
And we worship You, God, and give You thanks.
Thank You, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank You, Lord. Amen. I want to invite the prayer ministry team to come forward. You may stand up. We're going to be closing right now. I know y'all want to keep going. I mean, I can preach another hour or two if you'd like me to. Anyway, whoever's clapping, you know, additional crowns, there's all kinds of blessings that can come upon you. Come on, we just heard the word of God about the freedom that we've been given.
Thank you, Lord.
That the chains have been broken. If you've got chains in your life, if you've got things that need to be broken off of you, if you've got a healing that you need to walk into, I want to encourage you to not walk out of here in the same chains without bringing it to the Lord. Bring it to the chain breaker, Jesus Himself. Come up here and share those needs, prayer requests with these prayer ministers and let them come into agreement and call the name of Jesus out over those situations. If you walked into this room and you do not know freedom, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm here to tell you that you're not here by accident. He has brought you to hear this word of freedom because He has freedom for you. He created you to enjoy this gift of freedom, this gift of new life, of salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So I plead with you, don't walk out of here and walk away from that gift of what He has for you. It's free for you. It cost Him everything, but He's given it to you free. Come forward and share with one of these prayer ministers, I'm here for the free life. I'm here for Jesus. Man, they'll pray with you. And you will find, just as you heard those testimonies earlier, you will find and begin to experience the very presence of God, the freedom of God, the peace and the joy of the Lord coming on you. Because in Christ Jesus, all things are made new. And so we thank you, Lord, that in you, Christ, that we have been made new. We receive, God, what you've done. We will not take it for granted. We embrace it. We walk in it now, Lord God, and we give it freely to others. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.